Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. For a long time, it looked like the Republican fandango might conceivably go all the way to the convention floor. Then came Florida and John McCain's victory yesterday, and what feels like a GOP shakeout on the short path to Super Tuesday.
My friends, in one week, we will have as close to a national primary as we've ever had in this country. I intend to win it and be the nominee of our party.
It ain't over, but after months with a big field and no clear front runner, the Republican Party's very own maverick seems to be striding into the big tent. This hour on Point, McCain, Romney, the Giuliani and Huckabee factors, and the Republican push to Super Tuesday. We'll turn in just a moment to two top Republican analysts, Frank Luntz and Tony Fabrizio, and to our own Jack Beatty. But first, we check in on Florida the day after. Joining me from Tallahassee is S.V. Date. He writes about Florida politics for the Tallahassee Democrat and the New Republic. He's also author of Jeb, America's Next Bush. S.V. Date, thanks for joining us. What happened there?
Well, this was really an incredible story because it seemed that John McCain had been losing the lead last week. The momentum that he got from South Carolina seemed to be slipping away from him. And then Saturday night, the governor of Florida, Charlie Crist, who's extremely popular here, kind of jumped in and really turned things around, and McCain ended up pulling it out by 5 points.
Why do you think Charlie Crist went for John McCain? It may tell us something about Florida overall. What took the governor there instead of any of his other options?
Oh, sure. Well, philosophically, they're very much in tune with each other on a number of things, including some things that the Republican base, as it were, sees as almost heretical. I mean, the global warming. I mean, they're on the same page there. They think it's a real issue that needs to be addressed. They're both kind of mavericks within the party. Charlie Crist ran kind of openly as a moderate, and everyone thought he couldn't make it, and he won, and he beat his Republican primary opponent 2-1. So when he jumped in Saturday night, very late, he did it, I think, because he realized he could make a big difference. He could change the course.
And maybe he did. We've got here McCain with 36% of the Florida vote, Romney 31%, Giuliani 15%, Huckabee 14%. As you say, Romney was looking pretty strong even late in the game, apart from the governor's endorsement that he did not get. How are people interpreting Romney's loss there in Florida? Or second place finish, I should say.
Well, you know, Romney spent more money here than probably all his other his opponents combined. But, you know, Giuliani did come close. Giuliani spent a lot of time and money here as well. But Mitt Romney really started working the state extremely hard, even back in late 2006. He got a lot of former Governor Jeb Bush's team on his side, and they were doing not just the TV ads, which started in September here, but also the ground game. And so they made a big, big effort, and for them to lose this, it was a big blow. They really needed the momentum going into February 5th with all those states that really still don't know a whole lot about Mitt Romney.
57 delegates out of Florida, that's a lot. Winner take all, as the Republicans tend to do, and will do again next Tuesday, Super Tuesday. What does the message look like to you coming out of Florida to the rest of the country from Republicans, S.V. Date?
Well, one thing is the importance of the evangelical vote, I think, may have peaked in 2004. What we saw here last night was a campaign that really didn't go after that vote very strongly, win anyway. And in fact, they got a big chunk of the evangelical vote, despite not really catering to them. Also, John McCain won, or was very close, actually, in terms of the economy. So Romney's message that he's the one who is best able to deal with that didn't really work here. Generally, Florida matches demographically the rest of the country, so what happened here, I think, is very telling going forward, and the man has won two primaries in a row now. I would think that would give him a fair amount of momentum.
We're going to look at that short path forward to Super Tuesday. We can't help but look for just a moment, at least, at the Democrats. We talked about their run to Super Tuesday earlier this week, but now Hillary Clinton took Florida in this unvote or unsanctioned kind of virtual race there. The Obama camp dismisses it, saying this had been put out of bounds by the Democratic Party leadership. But Hillary Clinton's camp is trumpeting it. Remind us of the numbers and how's it being interpreted there?
Right. Well, how it's being interpreted depends on who you ask. Obviously, the Clinton campaign needed something between the drubbing they took in South Carolina and Super Tuesday to show that, you know, they're for real and they're the people who ought to win. And so even back in December, her people here in Florida were already kind of pre-spinning this as we're going to win, and it's going to be important because for the same reasons Florida is important for Republicans, it's also important for Democrats. It's a must-win state for Republicans. It's a state that if they can win in November for the Democrats, they probably win the election. Now, Obama took the opposite tack, realizing that there was just no way he was going to overcome the Clinton machine going back to Bill Clinton, building it back in 1991. And so they said, well, you know what, if we can't win, let's not even play and let's try to diminish it. So how it comes across depends on which storyline gets more traction nationally.
Big, big days ahead for both parties, and what a picture with the Republican huge field now narrowing down and down to this. Esfi Date in Tallahassee, thank you very much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We are looking this hour at the Republicans barreling now towards Super Tuesday. With us from Santa Monica, California, is Frank Luntz. He is a Republican pollster and analyst, CEO and chairman of Luntz Meslansky Strategic Research. He's also author of Words That Work. It's not what you say, it's what people hear. Frank Luntz, thanks very much for being with us today.
It's a pleasure, although I don't really call myself a Republican anymore.
All right. Well, we'll give you whatever status you like, and we're happy to have you. We know you've got a good eye on this party, and no doubt more. Also with us from Alexandria, Virginia, Tony Fabrizio, also a Republican pollster, well, as far as I know, and strategist with Fabrizio, McLaughlin and Associates. He has advised dozens of GOP candidates and the Republican National Committee and was chief pollster and strategist for Bob Dole's 1996 presidential campaign. Tony Fabrizio, welcome back. Good to have you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
And with us from Hanover, New Hampshire, we're joined by On Point News analyst Jack Beatty, senior editor at the Atlantic Monthly Magazine. Hello, Jack, on this morning after, day after.
Hello, Tom, and I don't identify myself as a Republican pollster anymore either, and hello, Frank and Tony.
Good to have you all. Let's get a big take. First of all, Tony Fabrizio, right out of the gate, what do you make of what happened yesterday in Florida?
Well, I think that it was a huge boost for McCain, by any stretch of the imagination. Had McCain lost yesterday, he would have been pushed into a long slog with Romney, even though McCain has the lead in several states, major states, going on February 5th. The truth of the matter is Romney has the resources and the personnel capabilities to fight a long battle of attrition. And McCain really isn't in a position to do that, given the financial problems his campaign has had. So it was a huge boost for McCain to win last night and win by as much as he did. I will tell you, I do disagree with the earlier report that it was Charlie Crist alone that turned things around for McCain. In fact, if you look at the exit polls, it was a marginal impact. I think what happened is it was a combination of Crist injecting himself and McCain going on the offense against Romney. Romney's surge was because Romney was being successful in making the race about ideology, which was bad for McCain because it was crystallizing conservatives behind Romney. But when McCain went after Romney on character, that played to McCain's strong suit, which is personality.
Frank Luntz, how do you interpret where the Republican race stands now? Stack John McCain's momentum out of Florida up against Mitt Romney's campaign style and campaign war chest, money. How does it look to you?
I would much rather have momentum than money when you only have 6 days to go. I agree with Tony's conclusion. John McCain has always had a problem on two issues that are core to the Republican constituency: tax cuts, which he voted against, and immigration, where his position is not where the Republican mainstream is at. And yet McCain was successful because his personality, his independence, there's something special about the McCain persona that is so attractive to a segment of the Republican Party, and particularly to independents, that it was able to overcome Romney's advantage on issues. And if you look at state by state, poll by poll, John McCain is poised to win the clear majority of delegates 6 days from now.
Jack Beatty, John McCain's persona has a famous appeal. I guess, I mean, he was broke last summer, and now he's sitting in or, you know, the winner's circle. That speaks for itself in a way. But do you see a candidate here who, given his maverick position on some of these core issues, as Frank Luntz says, can really rally the Republican Party nationally, not only on Super Tuesday, but in a general election?
Well, that remains to be seen, but it's troubling that, you know, there is this, the New York Times calls it an intensity gap between the parties. The Democrats consistently have been getting more people to come to their primaries and caucuses than the Republicans. There's less enthusiasm for Republican candidates. And now the question I think about John McCain is, will his nomination or will his ascendancy chill a certain fraction of that Republican base, perhaps the nativist part of it? Perhaps strong conservatives, one doesn't know. On the other hand, I think that if it looks as if Hillary Clinton is going to be the Democratic nominee, that will factor in and really make McCain look much more palatable to even the hardest core conservatives.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the Republicans and John McCain barreling down now on Super Tuesday, next Tuesday, February 5th, a day now more and more likely to decide, it looks like, the GOP nominee for president. Tony Fabrizio, pollster and strategist, joins us from Alexandria, Virginia. Frank Luntz from Santa Monica, California, and Jack Beatty is here as well. Senator McCain was very gracious in his victory last night.
My friends, this was a hard-fought election and worth fighting hard for. But I've been on the other side of such contests before and experienced the disappointment. I offer my best wishes to Governor Romney and his supporters. You fought hard. You fought hard. You fought hard for your candidate, and the margin that separated us tonight surely isn't big enough for me to brag about or for you to despair.
Mitt Romney conceded at about 9:30 last night. Only about half the votes were counted. The count was still fairly close at that stage, but the trend was clear.
You guys are great. Almost, but not quite. You guys are my heroes. You took this campaign from nowhere to the very top tier. You worked your hearts out, and you made me a contender. And for that, Ann and I and our family will be forever grateful. Thank you so very much.
And Rudy Giuliani, last night, never explicitly saying he would drop out of the race, but it was all past tense for old Rudy.
I'm proud that we chose to stay positive and to run a campaign of ideas in an era of personal attacks, negative ads, and cynical spin. We ran a campaign that was uplifting.
Rudy Giuliani in the word now, of course, that he's headed out and will throw his support to John McCain. Frank Luntz, what epitaph do we put on the Rudy Giuliani campaign here?
It was very different. I remember his campaign. I worked for him in 1993 and 1997, as well as in his brief campaign from the Senate in 2000. And I remember a guy who was so intense that if you even looked down at a newspaper, he would throw you out of the office. This time, it didn't seem like he wanted it. I was in a session. I had the opportunity to sit with him and some of his advisors a few weeks ago, and everybody was, they were on their Blackberries looking at the sports scores, at the football scores during the playoffs.
And he was dealing with it.
And he tolerated it. This is not a kinder, gentler Rudy Giuliani. This is a Rudy Giuliani that didn't demand full attention from his people. I don't believe, with the exception of the immigration issue, I don't believe that it was just about strategy. I believe that he did not have as strong a message. I do not believe that he delivered it well. In all the focus groups I did for Fox News, people found Rudy to be unclear. They found him to be unfocused. They respected all that he did as mayor of New York, but he didn't successfully translate that to what he could do for America, and that's why he collapsed in only 5 weeks.
Tony Fabrizio, could it have been another way this year for this candidate, Rudy Giuliani?
I have to disagree with Frank. I know Frank's worked for Rudy. I think Rudy's problem is arrogance and hubris. Part of the problem is when you don't have a clear message, that is a sign that you don't have a strategy. They didn't watch the ball. They didn't have their eye on the ball from the very beginning. They knew they had weaknesses inside the party. They were well-known weaknesses. They chose to continue to move back the flag every time they started to slip someplace. They moved back the flag to somewhere else where they thought they could hold on and play. They never planted a flag. They thought they were going to be able to run a newfangled campaign and just change the whole system because they were Rudy Giuliani. And so, consequently, what you saw here is you saw where we thought a year ago we'd be witnessing Rudy Giuliani getting knocked out by his opponent's TV ads. I can't think of a single TV ad that was run against Rudy Giuliani, and he's going to be out of the race.
And, Jack, what about Mitt Romney here? The economy grew into a huge issue on the home stretch to the Florida vote. That, one would think, should have been a big advantage for him. He certainly tried to capitalize on it, make the most of it, sort of sneer at John McCain's credentials on the economy front and brag about his own. But we see in the exit polls here that even Floridians who put the economy very high on their list of concerns, many of them went to McCain.
Yes, they did. And I see that people who thought the economy was doing well or who were doing well themselves went to Romney. And, he couldn't, in a strange way, the issue environment broke his way in the last month. And he just wasn't able to take advantage of it. Maybe if there had been a longer interval, between primaries, he would have had a chance to reframe his candidacy around what was, after all, his strongest suit. I know where jobs come from. I know where jobs go. I can run. But he wasn't able. He didn't have time enough to do that. And I think he was still. Talk about being unclear. Was he the real conservative candidate? Was he the pragmatic business candidate? I don't think he ever really defined himself either.
Frank Luntz from California. How does the Romney campaign look situated now to you? Can this still be done? It's not many days. John McCain with momentum today. You say you'd rather have that than money, but Mitt Romney's got a lot and has had some momentum along the way. Can he do it?
It's virtually impossible, and I don't see it happening. Tonight's debate is obviously going to be important. The problem with Mitt Romney is that when he draws that distinction with McCain, which he obviously has to do, it comes across as very negative and very harsh. Rudy had the same problem when he tried to do it with Romney, that in the end, the voters don't hear the message, they hear the attack, and he doesn't have enough time to get through that. Ideologically, he's more attuned with the typical Republican than John McCain. That said, we've already buried several candidates that have come up and are now. We buried Hillary Clinton after Iowa. I won't give you the list on air of some reporters that you're listening to.
And she was back. Yep.
And she came back. We buried John McCain. Oh, John McCain, rest in peace. And he came back.
Buried and piled on the stones. Yep.
It's the Friday that this is the Freddy Krueger campaign. You think he's dead, and he keeps coming back.
Tony Fabrizio?
So I won't bury Mitt Romney, but he's in trouble.
Tony, how do you see the Romney campaign at this point? He said, I've got the chops on the economy. I've done it. McCain said, well, that's right. I'm not a manager. I'm a leader. McCain won in Florida.
I think you need to look at what the composition was of the voters who said the economy. By and large, in the Republican Party, the voters who say the economy are as their most concern generally are more moderate to liberal Republicans who are generally more displeased with the president themselves. So that is a natural base for McCain. We all know that McCain has capitalized on his support among moderates and liberals inside the party and captured just enough conservatives. So I think ideology has more to do with it than perhaps issue position, specifically Romney versus McCain. I think Romney's problem is that when he goes after McCain, he is not pure on the things he goes after McCain on. And it plays to McCain's strength, which is McCain's personality and his image as a straight shooter. So when he calls Romney a flip-flopper, there is more weight there than when Romney attacks McCain on not knowing something on the economy. The most resonant thing that Romney has probably on McCain is the fact that he's an outsider and McCain's an insider.
And then there was this guy last night, an outsider in his own right, Mike Huckabee in Missouri after the Florida vote. Didn't concede much in his concession speech, came in fourth right behind Rudy Giuliani, 14%. Says he's leading in the polls in a lot of key Super Tuesday states in the South and that he plans to, quote, take it all the way to the nomination and to the White House.
We're playing all nine innings of this ball game. Even the Cardinals occasionally have a rough inning. but they know how to win championships.
Frank Luntz, what game do you see Mike Huckabee playing here? A lot of talk last night in the post-vote analysis that maybe he's lining up to position himself as a VP running mate for John McCain. What do you say, Frank?
Well, here's a guy who really surprised people early on. And I can remember when I first reported him winning a very early debate on Fox News, some of my colleagues said, the guy's got 1% of the vote. Why are you focusing on him? And my response was that voters really appreciated his everyman language and his accessibility. He's the one who sounded at least political. That said, he hit the public. He hit the national stage. There were some negative articles about him, and it became very difficult for him to respond because he actually has even less money than John McCain has and virtually no ability to respond with paid media. I think he wins 4 or 5 southern states where the religious conservatives have a strong percentage. That's not enough to win the nomination, but that is enough if Romney were ever to stay in to pick up a fair number of delegates. Mike Huckabee is going to be around for a while because he stays at Best Westerns and Motel Sixes. And his whole focus of his spending is on the campaign itself rather than expensive jets. But I can't see him capturing the nomination at this point.
Tony, can you see him ending up on the podium with John McCain, the Baptist preacher, perhaps bringing that values voter over to McCain, who's been famously touchy on that front over the years?
Well, I think that a couple of things. One is I think Frank is right in that what you have here with Huckabee is you have a guerrilla campaign versus a full-blown campaign. So Huckabee is going to be very opportunist and try to keep himself in play or keep himself in the limelight and keep whatever VP ambitions he has harbored in his mind alive by picking off as many states as he possibly can, knowing that he could never accumulate enough delegates to be a serious threat to McCain. At the end of the day, if I'm John McCain and I'm looking to pick a running mate, I think I have lots of choices. And while there are some features about Huckabee that are attractive, there are other features that are not. And one of the problems that Huckabee has, and he's had since his ascension in Iowa, is that he is a moral issue conservative, not necessarily a social or a fiscal or foreign policy issue conservative. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so he appeals to a more narrow band of the party, and he doesn't solve necessarily any of McCain's problems.
Let's hear from our listeners. Joe in Worcester, Massachusetts. You're on the air, Joe.
Hello. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Great show. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm just curious, this conversation about whether or not the ideological underpinnings of any candidate in the Republican Party, whether they're moral or social or fiscal conservatives, I wonder if McCain transcends a lot of that and he speaks to the idea of what Republicans think they are, coming from the Reagan cowboy era to the Bush cowboy era. He's kind of the swaggering maverick. He speaks to kind of the libertarian self-image rather than any particular policy issues that Republicans and might have. And I wonder if that's why not only is he winning so many, he's winning these votes, but I think he's going to do great in the general election come November.
No small amount of swagger in Rudy Giuliani, and he's not there, but it is interesting where he takes the party. We'll pick that up, Joe. Let me get one more caller first. Karen in Waterloo, Iowa. You're on the air, Karen.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I have supported Senator Edwards all along. And
who is now officially out today. He has withdrawn, right, as you know.
Right. So knowing that, I could support an Obama-Biden, an Obama-Edwards, an Obama-Dodd ticket. If Hillary wins the nomination, I will support Senator McCain.
You'll switch parties. Why? Why?
Well, now, I'm an independent to begin with, and Senator Edwards had my heart, has it, but as far as I'm concerned, I don't trust Hillary any further than I can pick her up and throw her. I've got a son in the military. He's headed back to the Persian Gulf, and quite frankly, I feel like John McCain walks like he talks. If I can't have Senator Obama, Senator Edwards, someone I trust, then I will go with someone I trust who I believe is at least not going to lie to me.
Even though McCain says, I'm not sure where you stand on this, but he says, he'll hang in there with the war as long as it takes, 100 years if necessary.
I've heard that, and I really hope I have a candidate I can support, but it isn't Hillary. And from way back when I did not vote for the first President Clinton, all through the last several 8 years or whatever it's been, I have always thought that at least McCain walked like he talked.
Karen,
I know what kind of a what I'm getting.
We've got it, and we appreciate your call. Jack Beatty, jump in here. Our first caller, Joe, says, you know, is musing about what John McCain represents out of the GOP, what stripe of it, and where he might take the GOP. And here you have got an independent-leaning Democrat who says she would flip to McCain if the circumstances were right or wrong by her lights.
Yeah, you know, to take the latter, I think that that for Democrats, this is bad news, the ascendancy. I mean, he's the one candidate there, it seems to me, who has a shot at winning, and especially if Hillary Clinton is the nominee. Hillary, as documented last week in the Peter Hartz poll, has virtually no appeal to independents. John McCain strongly appeals to them. Hillary, you know, she really can't use a generational argument against the 72-year-old McCain. She really can't use an Iraq war argument. She voted for it. She can't just say, well, look, John, we wouldn't have been there at all if I had had my way, which seems to be where the public is. And finally, she can't make an experience argument against him. He's got more experience than anybody. And also, I think to get back to our Joe from Worcester, I think that John McCain does have that mythic dimension, mythic Republican, mythic American, the great story. And I think that would work for his advantage against either Democrat, but especially against Hillary for these reasons.
Frank Luntz, does or can John McCain really rally the GOP to the polls in November, or does he draw strength from this other facet, potentially independents?
Oh, it's amazing how polarizing Hillary Clinton is and how she will unite the Republican Party. By the way, there will be, right up to the convention, even beyond, a segment of conservatives that will get publicity for denouncing McCain's nomination, and they're going off, and they may even clamor about starting a third party.
What will their core critique be, Frank?
That John McCain is not a true conservative. They won't use the word Republican. Mm-hmm. They'll say that John McCain is not a true conservative. Mm-hmm. We must have a true conservative. And that Hillary Clinton, who is a true liberal, is better, that Americans see what a true liberal is, then elect someone who isn't a true conservative. But that will end up being 1 or 2% of the electorate. John McCain has transformational capabilities as a candidate. This goes back to his personality, that even people who may disagree with him politically respect his career, respect his experience, and who he is. And that essence, the straight talk, that says what he means and means what he says, will do him very well in the fall. Republicans are at a 10, 12, 14-point deficit in terms of who the Americans prefer for president, but John McCain could narrow that gap significantly.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about the Republicans and John McCain, big out of Florida, barreling down now on Super Tuesday. Next Tuesday, February 5th, it's going to be a huge day. Pollster and strategist Frank Luntz joins us from Santa Monica, California. Tony Fabrizio at Fabrizio and McLaughlin and Associates in Alexandria, Virginia is with us. Our own Jack Beatty. Pete is on the line from Jackson, Georgia. Hi, Pete. You're on the air.
Hey, Tom. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to let you know first that I'm a... You're a fan, and I'm probably one of the thousands of truck drivers that listen to you all the time. Sometimes no choice, you know?
We love it. Anyway, we love it. What do you know, Pete?
Yes. Hey, listen, I am a Asian American, retired military, and always been a Republican for a long time, ever since I became naturalized.
Yeah.
But I tell you, I'm not as excited now as on the other side. I'm more excited towards the Democrats. You know, with Obama and even Hillary Clinton.
What about them this time, Pete? Why? What about them?
It's just I hear from other truck drivers also telling me that, you know, the country is going for a change. And we can't have a change if we have McCain and the Republican Party that's been there for a long time, you know. So I don't know. If McCain becomes the nominee, I might have to pass it. You know, I probably just, you know, sit it out, or because I think the Democrats are going to take it no matter what, you know.
Pete, let me ask you. You're a naturalized citizen, an immigrant yourself. McCain's been criticized for being friendlier than some to immigrants. Does that mean something to you, or it's not enough?
It does. It means something to me. I respect him, you know. It's pro-military, and I like him, but it's just the excitement and the enthusiasm that I see on the Republican side is no match to the Democrats.
Pete, we're grateful to have your report from the road. Keep on trucking there and call us again. It's great to have you today. Thanks for that. Let's go to Columbia, South Carolina, and Jim. Jim, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Pretty well. What do you know?
I was listening to the conversations with your other colleagues, and one thing that really strikes me, I think if the Republican Party has any chance of winning the White House, they're going to have Hillary Clinton as a nominee, because what's going to happen, in my estimation, is that she is such a polarizing figure that the Republicans will galvanize around John McCain, who I think is going to win the Republican nominee.
And where do you start from, Jim? Right, left, independent? What's your...
I'm a conservative. I'm a Republican conservative. Mm-hmm. And I vote, in fact, during the South Carolina primary, I voted for John McCain. But one thing that I recognize is that we as Republicans don't want another Clinton in office, and that in itself right there is going to really provide a swelling of support for McCain. Now, on the flip side of that, if Barack Obama somehow wins the Democratic nomination, I think that's when the Republican Party is going to be in trouble, because I look at Barack Obama having the same intensity and fire as John F. Kennedy did back in the early 60s. And, I mean, he had the support of the young voters. And if you look at what happened in South Carolina, Barack Obama got 55% of the vote.
Would you vote for him, Conservative Jim? Would you cross over and vote for him?
No, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. No, I would not.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm a John McCain supporter, and I intend to stay that way. I'm a Republican. I voted Republican all my life. But I think our concern is really going to be with Barack. He's got a great organization, and I just really believe that if he ends up with the Democratic nominee, then we're in trouble, because the support that he has gotten so far, and take away Florida. I think Florida, I know that they lost their delegates, and I believe that Hillary Clinton has to have something to hold on to, because she got a drubbing in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Jim, thanks very much for that observation. Tony Fabrizio, how do you look at these matchups from a GOP perspective? If it's McCain, we don't know yet, but if it's McCain, who does he line up most strongly against?
I think there's no question that John McCain is our strongest general election candidate at this juncture. And I am a bit of a contrarian. I recognize everything that Hillary Clinton brings to the table, but there is the flip side to Hillary Clinton. And that is there is nothing you can tell America about Hillary Clinton that they don't already know. Her cake is baked as far as the American population is concerned. And if the race between her and McCain becomes a race on issues, and the issues like the war in Iraq and the economy and health care and all of those issues, energy prices, those aren't going to bode well for McCain, because Republicans don't do very well on those issues, and we're not doing very well on those issues. I happen to think that people are grossly overestimating Barack Obama. I understand that there is a huge excitement level for this guy, that there is just such this desire and energy for change, mm-hmm. that just by being there and being an African-American who's seriously contesting this, that he's become the symbol of it. But what do we really know about Barack Obama? Very, very little. And history is littered with many, many candidates, especially ones for high office, that we know nothing about, but their star quality carries them so far. And then when the harsh light is shone on them or shined on them, they collapse under the weight of what they really believe.
Frank Luntz, you've done a lot of focus groups on a lot of candidates. What does that work tell you about these matchups and the potential in McCain and beyond?
Tony and I agree on most things, but on this one, we do not agree. I have never seen a candidate like Obama, and not in the debates, in his speeches, in his presentations, where he will attract 5 or 7 or 10,000 people to an auditorium. People who just wanted to see him speak and were curious walk away absolutely blown away. That the intensity of Obama's support is incredible. The fact that Hillary Clinton has been running for president basically since 1993, and that Obama has been able to capture the public's imagination. Let's face it, He's one of the least experienced candidates ever to seek the presidency in the last 50 years. And the fact that he's giving her a really good run for his money, if he were the Democratic nominee, the surge of support and the outpouring of intensity it would take for him to achieve that, I believe, would put him over the top. It is easier for Republicans to strategize how to beat Hillary Clinton than it is how to bring down Barack Obama.
Let's go to Joe in Waterbury, Connecticut. Joe, you're on the air.
Hi there. How you doing, Tom? I'm a big fan of the show and NPR in general.
Thanks, Joe. What do you know?
I want to bring in a lot of your callers and even a couple of your guests. I agree with many points of what they had to say, but I also want to bring something. You know, everybody talks about McCain's integrity, and trust me, I believe I'm a big fan of his service to the country.
Yep.
And his political career in general. I think he's a great person. I don't think he'd be a great president. I do question his integrity to a certain extent. In South Carolina, when he lost to Bush and they slandered him, it wasn't long after that he had his arm around Bush supporting him. And they didn't just slander him, they slandered his daughter. And I have a hard time, you know, getting behind somebody who I think he's politically motivated. I don't think it's just about, you know, his service to the country. I mean, I really want people to remember that, you know, that he you know, backed Bush after he slandered him.
Well, it was and is his party, but we take your point. Have you got another Joe there?
No. Oh, yeah, I certainly do. In respect to, Edwards has always been my guy, and I'm really mad at the media because I never thought he was, pardon the expression, sexy enough voter. You know, he couldn't hang with, like, the whole gender conversation or the race conversation. He was just talking issues. He was the only person that was talking about the poor. Everybody's talking about the middle class. He wanted to bring the poor to the middle class. And I respect that. I feel bad that he's gone. I think they're both, him and McCain, would be great, great cabinet members if they would get the nomination. And, you know, McCain had the opportunity to help bring the country together when John Kerry, 4 years ago, wanted to. He spoke in public about bringing him and using him as a vice president to try to unite the two parties. And once again, he abandoned what was good for the country so he could support his party.
He was and is a Republican, an independent. Joe, thanks for that. Let us look at it. Tony Fabrizio, what about this party and where John McCain, as its standard bearer, would take it? And I come back to this question of whether or not he can pull it together. You've got these giant megaphones, Rush Limbaugh and all the mini Rushes around the country, who have just been banging against Huckabee and McCain, really touting Mitt Romney here. They represent a certain kind of, entrenched Republican base voice. Can John McCain really pull this Republican Party together, and in what direction?
John McCain can pull the party together, and a lot of it has to do with who his opponent is. Let us not forget that elections are about choices, and there are some candidates that can do it just by the strength of their issues or their positions, i.e. Ronald Reagan, and there are some candidates that do it based on their personality and who the other person is that they're running against. You know, it's better the devil I know than the devil I don't know. Excuse the expression. And in the case of certainly Hillary Clinton, there is a polarization that already naturally occurs among Republicans. Now, it's not going to stop the Rush Limbaughs or the Sean Hannitys or the Laura Ingrams from attacking John McCain. They're always going to be there. But the truth of the matter is, at the end of the day, John McCain is going to be able to make a case, who would you rather see running this country, me or Hillary Clinton, me or Barack Obama? I can tell you that Barack Obama is not going to be any more attractive to conservative Republicans than Hillary Clinton is. He may have more sway with independents, but he's certainly not going to appeal to conservative Republicans. So in either of those two cases, as long as the Democrats nominate somebody that can be perceived as more liberal than McCain, it's going to coalesce the base to a degree.
Frank and Jack, I want to get to you, but Frank, let me just ask you, on this issue of the big radio right-wingers, where do they go? Do they take their toys and go home? Where? And their voices are so big, it's hard to picture how this sorts out in the end.
That's a very good question. In the end, I think that their disappointment with Republicans nominating John McCain will be less impactful than their fear and dislike, intense dislike of Hillary Clinton. And so they'll end up not endorsing McCain per se, but trying to take her down. And if I just may, John McCain's integrity throughout his career is what has held him up and allowed him to survive as he's taken an independent course. And the one thing, the one advantage that John McCain does have over Senator Clinton, forget the ideology, forget the experience. When you compare the integrity, the perceived integrity and the reality of it, in terms of how John McCain has handled himself in times of crisis, that's what allows him to appeal to independents. They're not backing him because of where he stands on issues. Independents, he does so well among independents, they back him because of who he is as a person.
But our caller Joe in Connecticut, the independent, says he couldn't handle the way McCain took that smearing from the Bush campaign and then stood up with his arm around George W. Bush. Maybe that's just the way of the world.
Well, and he, but what he was saying was that he felt John McCain should have backed John Kerry. John Kerry, and you made a very good point, that in the end, John McCain's policies, whether it's completely in lockstep with the Republicans, John McCain is a Republican, and therefore, even after facing such a political onslaught, the proper place for McCain to be is with someone who he agrees with 85% of the time, rather than someone who he agrees with 15% of the time.
Let's get another woman's voice in here for a minute, and then, Jack, I'm coming. Peggy in Manchester, Connecticut. Peggy, you're on the air. Hello, Peggy. Oh, dear. Too bad. Sounds like that cell phone may have moved out of range. Sarah in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Sarah, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I have a wild fantasy ticket in my mind that yet feels like the long-term right thing, and I just don't know if it could ever happen. And that's McCain-Obama.
Okay. There's another stretch. And why would that be paradise to you?
I just think it would answer the long-term needs of the country. You have integrity at the head, somebody who, as has been said, walks the talk, talks the walk, and someone who could unite, well, obviously the right-wing conservative radio people would be left out in the cold. But
integrity and unity, that
and,
sounds like...
And the hope, and the sort of... I mean, I get the feeling that part of the appeal of Obama is this sort of, this will redeem us. This will redeem us in the eyes of the world if we can elect Barack Obama. And yet he doesn't have the experience. He's not seasoned.
Yep.
So maybe... I don't know. It's sort of this double whammy of redemption and pragmatic. And I'm a Democrat, mind you.
Yeah.
So
Sarah, we hear it. And we hear the yearning, and not just in your call, but in many, whichever faces you put on it. Jack Beatty, you've been listening here, and there's a big buffet laid out. Dive into it for us. What do you hear in all this?
Well, you know, I think we hear from Sarah that John McCain is a crossover candidate to a certain extent. I mean, I was surprised last year to see how much even liberal Democrats, self-described liberals, admire him. That is a tremendous asset. And, of course, liberals are the people who make up the press, the media. And John McCain, uniquely among Republicans, gets an outstanding media. I mean, he's got them, I won't say in his corner, but by gosh, as opposed to any other likely Republican candidate, he'll have that going for him. And if Hillary Clinton is the Democratic nominee, she does not have the media. And I think that can't be. You talk about the talk show host. That's one part of it. But then the other part, just the political cognoscenti and the chattering classes, they are with McCain. They admire McCain. They don't like Hillary Clinton. And I think that's one of his secret weapons, really.
Tony Fabrizio, Super Tuesday is just days away now. The clock is ticking. What's your best experience guess? When does this Republican race wrap up?
Well, you look at the states that are in play on February 5th, and the larger states, California, New York, New Jersey, Illinois, Arizona, Connecticut, those states appear to be moving in McCain's favor, and in fact, McCain has a lead in many of those states. So a large chunk of those delegates are already going to be gone, maybe upwards of 400 or 500 of those delegates in McCain's favor. When you look at the states where nobody's really sure that are in play, McCain has an opportunity in several of them. I think McCain certainly can do well in Colorado. Missouri, the last numbers I saw in Missouri had McCain and Huckabee locked in a fierce battle there. There is, you know, Minnesota. You've got North Dakota, Montana. There's a number of states, and even Alabama, McCain was tied with Huckabee in Alabama. So McCain has the opportunity, if you look at those 20 or so states, he has the opportunity to pick up 14 of those 20 states.
Frank Luntz, we've got 15 seconds. How long does this GOP race go?
Another 7 days.
That's it. Tuesday in a couple, and maybe we'll have an answer. I'm very grateful to all of you for being with us this hour. Frank Luntz, pollster and strategist, joining us today from Santa Monica. Frank, always great speaking with you. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you.
And Tony Fabrizio in Alexandria, Virginia. Tony, great to have you. Thanks for being here.
No problem. Thank you.
Jack Beatty, good to have you as always, my friend. Take care.
Thank you, Tom.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.